It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for Feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford. I'm your host this morning. This morning we're going to be talking about National Police Week, which is coming up next week, and it's on the heels of Public Service Recognition Week. So we're doing a lot of recognizing and being aware of all of the contributions by our public servants. And next week we're going to focus specifically on National Police Week. We're awaiting the arrival in the studio of Craig Floyd, who I understand is stuck in traffic. He's in charge of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund and is very, very involved in Police Week. But to take his place until he arrives here, I'd like to welcome Steve Renninger, who I understand is the Director of Communications for the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. Steve, and you are the Director of Communications?
I am, yes. Thank you, Bill.
And that's for the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, right?
Correct, yes.
And we understand Craig left real early this morning to get here, and he must be stuck in some awful traffic.
Yeah, that's my assumption, because I know he was definitely on his way to join you in the studio.
So I would just like to remind our listeners that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance. And for more information on GEICO, go to geico.com. Also, this is a live show, and if you want to call in, you can. Our toll-free number is 1-877-936-9333. Or you can email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Okay, Steve, it's good to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about first of all, the National Law Enforcement Officers Fund, which are you, both you and Craig work for.
Correct, yeah. The National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund is the organization that supports the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, which probably many of your listeners know is located in the Judiciary Square neighborhood in Washington, D.C., kind of a historic seat of Washington, D.C., if you will. The property contains two very long curved walls on the east and west side, and those walls are where we engrave the names of the fallen.
And tell me a little bit about National Police Week, and we'll get into some of the larger details later, but just what is National Police Week?
National Police Week is a time that we all focus our efforts on commemorating the service and sacrifice of our nation's law enforcement officers, with a special focus on the heroes that we've lost in the line of duty. In 1962, President Kennedy proclaimed May 15th as National Peace Officers Memorial Day, and the calendar week in which May 15th falls as National Police Week. And that's the time that we here in Washington, as well as communities far and wide, will take a moment to celebrate their law enforcement officers, celebrate all the noble work they do in going about protecting their communities and their citizens.
Tell me a little bit about what you do.
Well, what we do here is we obviously, as the folks who operate the memorial, we have lots of guests and visitors come and join us. As you mentioned earlier, the week is chock full of events, and we have law enforcement officers nationwide come to celebrate, to honor the fallen, to lift up the surviving friends and family members who were left behind, and to really focus on what our law enforcement community provides to us as a nation.
So I was looking over the list of events. It seems like it grows every year. You just have more and more things that constitute National Police Week.
Yeah, you know, the list does get bigger each year with lots of really meaningful events, some of them more subtle and ceremonial in tone, and then many of them that are far more celebrations, if you will. So you really kind of run a gamut of the type of events that we will have here at the memorial. And again, it's reflective of the type of events that are held throughout the communities across the country.
And I noticed that one event has already occurred. That's the 19th annual Blue Mass. Can you tell me what that is?
Yeah, it's an annual mass that is hosted by St. Patrick's Catholic Church over here near the memorial, and it's intended for our public safety officials. It's a time to honor them, honor their service, and have a mass to bless them and the work they do, and pray for their protection and safety.
And then this is being Friday, May 10th. One of the kickoff events is tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning there is the annual National Police Week 5K, which starts off at 9 a.m., and it's held right here adjacent to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial on 4th Street. And they'll have about 2,200 people running or walking that 5K.
That's impressive. And mostly police officers?
Police officers, friends, family, survivor community, they get some support from our FBI Academy, usually have a large contingent from there. So it's really a pretty diverse range of participants.
And if you're interested in doing the 5K, because I think the weather is not going to be too bad tomorrow morning, although there's a possibility of rain, I understand, but shouldn't get in the way. Can somebody still sign up for this 5K tomorrow morning?
As long as it's not sold out. I know they do have a limit on the number of registrants that they can include, and folks can go to National Police Week 5K and check out if registration is still available, if they'd like to join.
Okay, well, what? Tell me some of the other events on Police Week.
Well, on Sunday morning, we will have the annual law ride, and that those riders are folks who ride motorcycles, and they ride from do a ceremonial ride from RFK Stadium over to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, where they then do a wreath laying and have a brief ceremony. And it's a very special time for the motorcycle community to come together and focus on the motorcycle cops who have died in the line of duty. And then after that, at about 2 p.m. on Sunday, we have one of our biggest celebratory events, which is the arrival of the Police Unity Tour. And I'll tell you a little bit about this group because it's pretty amazing. The Police Unity Tour consists of about 1,700 primarily law enforcement officers who ride 200 to 300 miles each year from points in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. And over a 2 or 3 day period, they'll cover a long distance. And at about 2 p.m. on Sunday, May 12th, they will all arrive at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. They will ride into the memorial through the pathways, and then they have a ceremony there to celebrate what they've accomplished.
It must be quite an impressive event to watch.
It really is. You know, it's a large group of bike riders together there, which is a sight to see. There's lots of celebration. Friends and family members will come out to greet their loved one who's participating in the event. You see lots of American flags being waved and signs encouraging mom or dad to keep pedaling. And folks are just really excited to see their loved one. The participants are excited and really proud of the challenges that they have overcome and making this trek. And, you know, they do raise a significant amount of money that supports the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial.
Steve, where's the best place to watch this if a member of the public wants to see this rather impressive sight?
Yeah, the best thing for them to do would be to jump on the metro, actually, because, as you know, parking is oftentimes challenging in D.C., especially around the Memorial during Police Week time, and have them come on down to the Judiciary Square metro stop would be where they get off, and they will see folks lining E Street, folks milling about the Memorial, lining the pathway so that they can see their rider when they come through and cheer them on. There's lots of room, and it's a great event to come and experience if you haven't done it before.
All right, Steve, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Bill Bransford, your host, and I'm now going to be talking to Craig Floyd, the president and CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. Craig, welcome to Fed Talk.
Hey, good to be back, Bill. Thank you.
And we've had the benefit, Craig, while you were held up, of Steve Renninger, your director of communications, filling us in on some of the details of National Police Week coming up next week. Tell us a little bit. I'm not sure how much of that you were able to overhear, but we were talking about the events on Sunday. But tell us a little bit about your vision, your idea of what National Police Week is all about.
Well, the good news is we've been commemorating National Police Week since 1963, Bill. So this has been going on for some time. I dare say, though, I bet there's a lot of citizens out there that weren't aware that the week of May 12th through the 18th was National Police Week. We actually started having national ceremonies in our nation's capital in 1982. It was the Fraternal Order of Police and their auxiliary that decided, we should be honoring all of our nation's officers in Washington, D.C. during that week, and particularly on May 15th, which is Peace Officers Memorial Day. So that small event in 1982, 125 people attended, has grown to where now we see more than 25,000, 30,000 people congregating in Washington from all over the country, and some from around the world, who come here to celebrate law enforcement service and to remember those who have sacrificed their lives in the line of duty. Our signature event at the memorial is our candlelight vigil, and that's Monday, May 13th at 8 p.m., and certainly the entire citizenry, general public, law enforcement community, you name it, is welcome and encouraged to attend. It's an amazing sight, 25,000 people or so with candles held aloft in honor of the nearly 20,000 officers whose names grace the memorial walls. And this year, as in the past, as is tradition, the Attorney General of the United States will be there, along with many other dignitaries, including the Secretary of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano. So a great show of support for law enforcement, and we are very proud to host it at the memorial.
And it is at the memorial. Could you tell our listeners once again where the memorial is, just in case anybody would like to go to the event?
Absolutely. It's the 400 block of E Street, Northwest Washington. All right, you get on the subway And you get right off at Judiciary Square, which is on the Red Line. It's a subway stop, and you actually can exit. There'll be a sign pointing you to the National Police Memorial, and you just rise right up into the space. At some point, that exit is closed, and then there's a secondary exit that you can use and then walk just about a half block over to the memorial. So the bottom line is it's a beautiful place to be during any time of the year, but especially during National Police Week. And one of the things I always encourage our visitors to do during this time is walk the memorial walls. The walls literally come alive with artifacts and mementos of a personal nature that have been left there to honor those fallen officers. You'll see notes from young children telling mommy and daddy how much they miss them and love them. Tugs at your heartstrings for sure. But a wonderful reminder that these men and women, while they're not with us here on Earth anymore, they're certainly always in the hearts and minds of so many, and especially their family members and colleagues. You'll see photographs of these officers, newspaper clippings. Some leave a shot glass with a little bit of liquid refreshment in it, honoring their lost colleague, a symbolic toast, if you will, to their memory. You see it all down there, teddy bears and so much more. And I encourage people to walk the walls, to read the notes. The walls come alive, and you realize that this is more than just about numbers and names. This is about human beings who left quite a legacy behind. A lot of people remember them, honor them, including their entire nation with this beautiful monument.
And I understand part of the purpose of this candlelight vigil is to memorialize the new names that are entered on the wall.
Yes, and this year, Bill, 321 new additions to the memorial walls, and 120 of those officers died last year. All right, these are men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice in 2012. Nine of them, by the way, federal agents, and all of their names are now newly inscribed, and those names will be read as part of our ceremony Monday evening at the candlelight vigil. But 201 of those names that we're adding this year belong to officers who died earlier in our nation's history. They'd literally been forgotten about by their communities, by their agencies, and by their nation. And one of the great parts of our job, perhaps as meaningful as any, is to resurrect the memory of these men and women who have been forgotten about, do the necessary research to make sure that their names should be on that memorial, that they did in fact make the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement service. We work with the agencies involved, getting them to confirm the information once we bring it to their attention. They can then go back to their record books and verify that, yes, that officer did serve and did sacrifice. And now that community is aware of a loss they had not realized. So this year, 201 forgotten heroes, forgotten no more. Their names will now be permanently etched on the National Memorial. And this year, those names go back all the way to the early 1800s. And in fact, it was a couple years ago that we uncovered a name, Cornelius Hogaboom, sheriff from Columbia County, New York. And Sheriff Hogaboom had the dubious distinction of being shot and killed in 1791. Turns out he was the first law enforcement officer known to be killed in the line of duty in the history of the United States. But up until a couple years ago, we had no recollection of Cornelius Hogaboom, and now he's talked about quite often.
And these people that you find, your organization finds these people and researches them and confirms that they really were law enforcement officials killed in the line of duty?
You know, it's a wonderful partnership, Bill. We work with the volunteers around the country. A lot of times, these are retired officers. We have an entire cadre of volunteers in the state of Texas, for example. And Texas, if you look at their numbers, has more officers killed than any other state in the country, more than 1,600. Now, one of the reasons why is they have so many officers who've served and so many who've sacrificed. But another important reason is because they have this group of volunteers who have taken the time out of their personal lives to scour the newspaper archives, go to their local libraries, look on the internet, read books, And they have found literally hundreds of older Texas cases that, if not for their good work and sharing that information with us, we would never have known about those fallen heroes from yesteryear. So they send us this information. A lot of times it's a very thick folder, if you will, of newspaper clippings, articles, excerpts from books, you name it, death certificates, pictures of a cemetery marker, and they send us all this information, whatever they can find on that officer, to prove that they did in fact serve and did in fact die in the line of duty. We take that information and then process it, get it into our database, and then send the necessary information to the department that has jurisdiction over that officer and make sure that they confirm that that officer did in fact die in the line of duty. And a lot of times, again, the department didn't realize it. Sometimes they can verify it through their own records. Sometimes they have to believe, as we do, that the information that was sent to us is accurate, and they'll sign off on it, and that name will then go on the memorial walls. But we have literally four full-time staff that work on processing the line of duty deaths and researching and verifying. So it's a very tedious process, very thorough one, because we don't want to put a name on that wall that doesn't belong, but we want to make sure all that do get there and get there in a timely fashion.
Well, that's absolutely phenomenal, Craig, that your organization does that. And I'm sure it has to be a partnership because you get this information from other sources. But the fact that you serve as a central gathering point to make sure that everyone is recognized who deserves to be is just wonderful.
Well, it's a very important clearinghouse of information that was never assembled before we came along. That's one of our unique roles in society, is to document these deaths all the way back to our earliest days in history. The only agency that ever compiled anything like it was the FBI, and they started around 1961. So before that, there were no records kept on a national basis about line-of-duty deaths.
Craig, I noticed that Sunday evening you're going to be also have an award ceremony as part of National Police Week.
Yeah, Sunday evening is our chairman's dinner. This is a more intimate gathering of our best friends and supporters, some of our top financial backers, survivors of the fallen, our board of directors. That's 16 national law enforcement organizations and three private sector groups. Target, DuPont, and Motorola Solutions have now been added to our board. So all of us will gather and celebrate the past year of success. There have been many achievements this past year for our organization. We want to thank the men and women that were responsible for that. And we also want to give out a few awards acknowledging people for special efforts above and beyond the norm. One will be our Excellence in Media Award, and we're giving that to a group, Modern City Entertainment. It's a film production company. They put together a wonderful, very powerful documentary about the service and sacrifice of law enforcement and what goes on during National Police Week. They were there filming last year, and they put together an amazing documentary. It's about 90 minutes long, and if you want to order one of those, you can go to our website at lawmemorial.org, and it's called Heroes Behind the Badge. So they'll be getting our Excellence in Media Award. Bill Erfurth is their executive producer. And then we're going to give out a Lifetime Achievement Award, and that's going to go out to a wonderful lady named Marcella Fierro, a medical examiner from Virginia. Many, many years served in the Commonwealth as their medical examiner, retired a couple of years ago. But from day one, dating all the way back to 1989, she has assisted us in reviewing each and every case that involves some sort of medical questions that we wouldn't be able to answer ourselves. And she's provided that great medical expertise over these many years. Without charging us a dollar for it, she's taken a lot of time out of her own life, both when she was working as a medical examiner and then now in retirement. She'll be getting our Lifetime Achievement Award, and richly deserved. And then finally, we're going to be giving our Distinguished Service Award. It's our top award that we give out each year, and that this year will go to the National Park Service and the U.S. Park Police. They have been our partners from day one. They maintain and secure that memorial. They have given it such great care over the years. It looks as good today as it did when it was established in 1991. And for all of that and for all the other services they provide throughout the year with their honor guards and security details and all the rest, they will this year get our Distinguished Service Award, and it is extremely well-deserved.
You're listening to Craig Floyd, Chairman and CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, talking about the upcoming Police Week. This is Fed Talk on 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
WFED Washington, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
I'm Deborah Roth, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Our firm specializes in helping federal employees with legal issues concerning their jobs or benefits. For two decades, we have been representing federal employees in adverse action cases, employment discrimination complaints, inspector general and internal affairs investigations, security clearance issues, and other federal employment disputes. If you have a legal concern, don't wait. Call Shaw, Bransford & Roth at 202-463-8400 or visit our website at shawbransford.com.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford, and I'm talking with Craig Floyd, who's the chairman and CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. We're talking about Police Week. If you have a question you'd like to talk to us, join in the discussion. You can give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-936-9333, or you can email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. So, Craig, I was talking to Steve about this when he was on the line earlier. There just seems like there's so many events during Police Week. It seems like the list grows every year. Talk to me about some of the other key events that you think are going to be part of next week's celebration.
Well, I know you highlighted the Police Unity Tour. I'll just add one thing to that. The welcoming ceremony, by the way, for those interested, again, is 2 p.m. at the Memorial, 400 block of E Street Northwest at 2 p.m. on Sunday, May 12th. So that's when they can come down and cheer on these wonderful people that have ridden some 300 miles on their bicycles over three grueling days. I started out yesterday with them up in New Jersey and rode about 37 miles, and boy, that was more than enough for me, one that doesn't bike all that often, but it gives me a thrill every year. It's such an honor to be able to ride that first leg with these men and women law enforcement officers from all over the country. One guy even came in from England, and he's been ridden for the last few years. We also, I was talking to the guy from Northern California chapter, and he said they brought with them about a dozen surviving family members who are riding in the Unity Tour this year, and that's been a tradition as well. A lot of survivors participate. So all of these people who started yesterday in New Jersey, started today down in Richmond and in Portsmouth, Virginia, as well as points in Pennsylvania, all of them will eventually congregate at the memorial at 2 p.m. on Sunday, and that's certainly something worth seeing. I mentioned the chairman's dinner, and that's certainly a wonderful way to say thank you to a more intimate gathering of followers. But then we get into the real public events that occur starting on Monday with our candlelight vigil. 8 p.m. at the memorial. We have a wonderful thing the next day that, again, this is a more intimate gathering, but it's our Officers of the Month. We've designated a particular Officer of the Month, federal, state, or local, from all over the country each month of the year since September of 1996. So that we can kind of showcase the diversity of law enforcement, the great deeds that they do. Some are heroic life or death shootout situations. Others are officers who've devoted 20, 30 years to helping kids stay away from drugs or helping the homeless and so many other things that officers do that often goes unseen and unappreciated. And that's the purpose of that program. So we'll have a wonderful luncheon and award ceremony for them on Tuesday, May 14th. We also have later that day, a pipe band ceremony. And I know there's so many fans of the pipes among our law enforcement family and among the general public, really. And this is an event they really want to see. It's one of the largest gatherings of pipe and drum bands that you'll ever see. Literally hundreds of pipers and drummers who march several blocks to the memorial. They gather there with thousands of other people who came to pay tribute to the fallen and do it in this wonderful ceremony that's filled with pipe band music throughout the evening. So that starts about 6 p.m. at the memorial grounds, 400 blocks.
And that's open to the public?
That is open to the public, and that's something that we always encourage them to attend. And then perhaps there's no more appropriate tribute to our fallen officers than what happens on May 15th, Peace Officers Memorial Day. And this is really the ceremony that started this tradition of national ceremonies in Washington, D.C. during Police Week. It's sponsored by the Fraternal Order of Police and their auxiliary. They're the ones that started that ceremony back in 1982. It was first held across the street from the Capitol in a place called Senate Park. They soon outgrew that space, which was a good problem to have, and they started moving that around to different locations throughout the nation's capital. But it finally found its home about 10 years or so ago at the U.S. Capitol on the West Front. It's a beautiful, spectacular setting for a tribute to our fallen officers, and you literally get that 25,000 to 30,000 attendance again at that event as you do at the candlelight vigil. And that ceremony pays tribute to all officers who've died in the line of duty, but it pays particular attention and tribute to those who died last year. Their names are read. A flower is placed by the family on a beautiful wreath that's placed there in the center of the stage area, and it's wonderful pageantry with all the pipe bands and honor guards and thousands of people there on the West Front. That is also open to the public. That's 11 a.m. On May 15th, which is Peace Officers Memorial Day. And one of the things...
That's the day designated officially as Peace Officers Memorial Day.
That is correct. And the week that's called National Police Week always revolves around May 15th. That's the centerpiece of the week. They say the 7 days that surround May 15th will be National Police Week. The dates change slightly each year because of that. This year it is May 12th through the 18th, and May 15th, Peace Officers Memorial Day, is that Wednesday. And then one note to make about that particular day, the flags of the United States are authorized to fly at half staff on that day in honor of the fallen officers and their families. And a lot of people still don't know about that law that was passed back in 1994. It's only the second day on the calendar, a regularly scheduled event, where we lower the flags to half staff, the other being, of course, Memorial Day in honor of those in the military who have died in the line of duty.
Well, that's it's very impressive, and I know you've got a significant number of other events. When I look down the list, I cannot believe how many events. And one of them that kind of intrigued me is the run from Philadelphia to Washington.
Yeah, interesting thing that's happened with Police Week is, it's not an event that we sponsor or organize. And in fact, many of the events that now occur in our nation's capital during National Police Week are not necessarily in conjunction with us, although obviously we support and endorse all of them. What's happened is people that have come to Police Week and seen what goes on there, they want to do something of a personal nature to pay tribute to their colleagues, to their loved ones. And so we see things like the Philly to D.C. Memorial Run, all right? And that's a group of officers from Philadelphia who run down to Washington each year. It's a long way,
isn't it, Greg?
They tag team it, as I understand it, and one guy will be out there running, or gal, and then the next person will take over and so forth. But they run into the memorial. They're going to be arriving at 12 noon on May 14th, and there's always a nice little crowd to greet them. And it's, again, people not just from Philadelphia, but, the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and Maryland areas are all represented in that run. So that's a good example of a more intimate gathering, something that somebody, probably an individual, the name escapes me, but decided, let's do something from Philly to D.C., just as the Police Unity Tour was started by a chief of police in Florham Park, New Jersey. He's now a chief. He was an officer back then. That was 1997, and he had lunch with me one day up in New Jersey, and he said, Craig, I'd like to organize a run from New Jersey, or a bike ride from New Jersey to Washington, and raise money for the memorial and focus attention on those who've died. And that Police Unity Tour, similar to the Philly to D.C. run, has grown. And it grew from 18 riders that first year that came down from New Jersey to where this year there'll be closer to 2,000 bike riders that will enter the memorial grounds at 2 p.m. on Sunday. So these events have grown. It's wonderful. I mean, I look at the same list you're looking at. It is overwhelming. The Sham Reem Society, for example, a group of Jewish officers who like to pay tribute to their fallen brothers and sisters. They have a wreath-laying ceremony at the memorial, and that's 9 a.m. on May 14th. We're also going to be showing Heroes Behind the Badge. That's this powerful documentary film that I mentioned. They're getting our media award this year, but we're selling tickets to that event on our website, lawmemorial.org, and that's at 2 p.m. on May 14th, and it's going to be at the E Street Theater, just up the street from the memorial, so that'll be nice. Another public event, Bill, as I look at the list, is May 14th at 3 p.m., This is a new event that we've added to the schedule. 3 p.m., May 14th, we're going to have a group of honor guards and flags from all over the country. All 50 states will be represented. And we're going to have the U.S. honor flag there. This is a wonderful piece of American history. It's a flag that has flown in Afghanistan and in Iraq and at the World Trade Center on 9/11. And the bottom line is this flag goes around the country to funerals for police officers, firefighters, and the military. And it's become a very sacred artifact. And they're going to be bringing it to the memorial at 3 p.m. on May 14th. And we call that our Standing Watch for the Fallen flag ceremony. Fairly brief, about a half hour in length, but a very moving ceremony on May 14th.
So, Craig, I want to leave a little bit of time to talk about trends in U.S. law enforcement fatalities and also an update on your museum. So if somebody wants to see this list, this very impressive list of activities on National Police Week, where can they go to see the list?
Best place is our website, lawmemorial.org, and that's /Police Week. So it's lawmemorial.org/Police Week. And they'll see the entire schedule. And by the way, it may have been mentioned earlier, but worth repeating, those that cannot attend the candlelight vigil in person at the 400 block of E Street, Northwest Washington, 8 p.m. on Monday, May 13th, they can go to our website that I just mentioned, lawmemorial.org, and they can sign up for a live streaming video of our candlelight vigil. So they can actually see it as it's occurring live, and it is free of charge. They just need to sign up ahead of time so they can access it.
You're listening to Craig Floyd, Chairman and CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. This is Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explain how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're talking to Craig Floyd, the chairman and CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, who's largely responsible for the events next week of National Police Week, and he's been going over them. It's an enormously impressive array of events. But, Craig, one of the things I always find interesting when we have you on the show is to talk about the trends in the fatalities. What is it that results in the death of the deaths of American police officers, and how has that trend changed over time?
Well, I think the best way to look at it is go back to the 1970s. We averaged, if you can believe this, 230 officers killed every year during the 1970s, second deadliest decade in history, the 1920s, the Prohibition era, the most deadly. But the 70s, very violent, tumultuous times in our country, a lot of urban unrest and a lot of the anti-government, anti-authority sentiment directed toward law enforcement, what I call our most visible and vulnerable symbol of government and authority. So oftentimes people attack them because they're easy prey, if you will, in many cases. Since the 70s, we've done a much better job of protecting our officers, both in terms of training, equipment, more officers on the street, better emergency medical treatment, and frankly, tougher criminal justice, keeping the worst of the worst criminals behind bars for longer periods of time. That's made it safer for our officers. Still nowhere near where we need to be. Any officer's death is one too many. And by the way, Bill, I attended a ceremony in Canada last September, their annual memorial service for all the officers killed in their country during the past year. They honored one officer. One officer.
Wow, one officer killed in Canada?
If you can believe that. And, you know, what's encouraging about that to me is if Canada can do that, you know, let's try to find out what they're doing that we're not, because clearly we have lessons that can be learned from our neighbor to the north. And it gives us hope that our numbers can come down dramatically. But we have lowered them. They've come down from 230 a year in the 70s down to about 154 law enforcement fatalities we're averaging over the last 10 years or so.
And 120 last year.
120. And so what that tells us is the number last year was dramatically lower than the average. And it's also the lowest number of fatalities we've seen since 1959. So you got to go back more than 50 years to find a better year for law enforcement in terms of fatalities. That's encouraging. And one of the reasons I believe that this is happening is there is so much more focus now on law enforcement safety than ever before in our nation's history. And I've been doing this job now for 30 years or so. And I can tell you firsthand that I've never seen such focus both at the Attorney General level, Department of Justice, the Department of Transportation, NHTSA, all the way down to the trainers, to the policymakers, to the officers on the street. Everybody is thinking about that potentially life-threatening moment that may come on the very next call. And because we're so focused on it in laser-like fashion, that people are more aware of the risks and they're better prepared to deal with those risks, even though we've cut budgets. And that's what's more remarkable than anything, perhaps, is the budget cuts over the last several years have really hurt our agencies in so many ways. But safety was certainly part of that. And that's why I think we saw such a spike in law enforcement fatalities in 2010 and 2011. But last year, with really not much more money going to the agencies, we were able to get those numbers down. And we talk about it every day. The Attorney General talks about it every day. Everybody's focused on it. And as a result, we saw a big decrease last year. This year, numbers up a bit again. We're over about 20% above where we were at the same time last year. 40 already this year killed. Last year, same time, 33. So not the best trend we wanted to see. We were hoping the numbers would continue that downward slide. But, boy, if we can get our arms around this a little more, I think we can drive those numbers well below 100, and our goal should be zero deaths for law enforcement in this country. And Canada has shown us that it is possible.
So one more question on the trends, and then we'll be able to spend a few minutes on the museum. What is it that causes the deaths in the line of duty of most law enforcement officers?
Well, 56% of the names on the memorial were the result of gunfire. So obviously firearms-related deaths, the number one cause throughout history. Now, lately, however, that has shifted. Last 15 years, more officers killed in traffic-related incidents than had been killed by gunfire. So that shows that we have a lot to do in the area of traffic safety. Every officer needs to wear their seatbelt. Every officer should have a car or a vehicle equipped with the latest safety equipment. Officers should think about getting to that call safely, first and foremost. Too many officers are dying in single-car crashes responding to emergency calls. All right. In Canada, they have a thing called Guaranteed Arrival Program, which stresses every day that the first thing an officer needs to think about is getting to that call for help safely before you can help that person. You got to get there. So these are some of the things that people need to think about. But traffic safety is certainly a big priority of ours and a lot of other people right now.
Okay, we have about 4.5 minutes left in the show. Is that enough time to talk about your museum, Craig?
Well, you know, I could talk for hours and hours.
I know you could.
This exciting museum that's about to take over Washington, D.C. We have some great ones already, and we've met with the leadership of most. But this is going to be a high-tech, interactive, experiential museum, the likes that Washington has really never seen, because we'll have the latest and greatest technology available to us.
And where is the museum?
This is going to be built right across the street from the National Memorial. Congress gave us the land in 2000 to build it. They said, however, because it's such a historic landmark area, they wanted to build most of the museum underground. So our architect, Davis Buckley, has really taken that challenge to heart and done a fabulous job of designing an underground museum right there in Judiciary Square. About 60,000 square feet of space, so it's a large specialty museum. People will be able to take on the role of the detective in the Take the Case Lab, a forensic science lab that's been sponsored by Target. They'll be able to engage in a use of force judgment simulator. You get a simulated training exercise, and you become the cop, and you get the gun in your hands, and you got to decide, do I shoot or do I not shoot in certain simulated training scenarios. Very exciting and quite an eye-opener. You'll become the dispatcher in our 911 emergency call center, which is sponsored by Motorola. And Motorola Solutions has become our biggest partner on this initiative. They have so much technology and product available to us, in addition to 18 million dollars that they have donated to this museum effort. And a lot of that is going to allow us to put out the most technology, the latest technology that's possible to make this as exciting as it can be. And then finally, Bill, we have more than 16,000 artifacts that we've collected. We have the entire J. Edgar Hoover collection, his desk, trench coat, all his speeches, photographs, you name it. We have the D.C. serial sniper collection. So when Malvo and Muhammad were wreaking terror on this community of ours, we have the car, the guns they used, all the evidence that was presented at the trial. We're going to have a very special changing exhibition soon after the museum opens dedicated to that terrible crime and how law enforcement working together, federal, state, and local, were able to solve it. And it's a great story that needs to be told.
And when does the museum open, Craig?
We're planning a 2015 completion date. We're going to be getting the core and shell, the major construction work underway later this summer, and it takes about 2 years to finish the job. We've already done all the underground infrastructure work and spent a lot of money already on a lot of the work, but now the finishing phase will start later this summer and end in 2015.
And I understand that your fund has raised the money for this museum.
Well, it's $64 million in funds raised already. We still have a few more million to go. The D.C. government has worked with us beautifully. There's been a bond authorization for this project, which we're going to close on later this summer, and that'll give us all the final financing we need to get this thing finished. It's been 13 years in the making. So we're anxious and ready for it to be completed, as are so many others. I heard the other day that we've had 19 million visitors this past year in D.C., and I guarantee many of those millions will want to come and will come to the National Law.
Well, sure, because it's located right between the Spy Museum and the Newseum, two already very popular museums. I can't imagine that you could be anything but one of the other popular sites in D.C.
And they've really proven that that the high-tech, interactive, experiential museums are what people want. The Spy Museum gets some 700,000 visitors a year. I think the Newseum does about the same. And as you say, we're right smack in the middle of both of those two great institutions, and we hope that those same visitors will come see us as well.
Greg, we're just about out of time here. Can somebody still contribute to the museum?
We need about another $7.5 million to finish up, and over the next couple years we need to go to our website lawmemorial.org, and they can donate there.
And it becomes pretty clear how they can do that.
Just click on the donate button, and they'll be walked through the process. Very simple. You can do it online, or you can get the information to mail it to us.
Craig, thank you so much for being our guest on Fed Talk and highlighting the exciting events of Police Week next week. And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us, to all our listeners. And remember that Fed Talk is brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Have a great weekend.
I'm Bill Bransford, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Fed Talk brings you inside information on hot topics in the federal community. From the halls of Congress to federal agencies, get the latest on the laws, regulations, and activities that directly impact federal employees. Tune into Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM as we bring in the experts to bring you inside the issues.
GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote, and be sure to request your special federal savings.